Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
It's good to be in the house. Amen. Well, if you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read the first three verses. Amen. I won't go too long tonight, but it's a really simple message. Let's begin verse 1. It says, therefore, are we there? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Well, that must be possible, right? He says laying aside. So he gives us the strength to do it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us or ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, patient endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Now, go back to verse 2, and this is what I want to focus on tonight. It says, looking unto Jesus. That word looking, and I'll just read out of my Bible. It has side notes on it. It means to look away. It means undivided attention. Looking away from all distractions in order to fix one's gaze, having eyes for no one but Jesus. See, that's why it got Peter in trouble. Remember? Peter steps out of the boat. His eyes at one time when he got out of the boat was fixed. What happened? Then distractions came. In other words, he started to feel something. The wind. He started to see something. What was that? The waves. So now he's got his attention on other things. He's no longer focused unto Jesus. Now there's a gap. When I read his account, I see a gap. He's looking this way. There's a gap here now. Left, right. In other words, a divided attention. You cannot look both ways at the same time. That's what Joanne told me all the time when we were driving. Because what happens? You have a tendency to run off the road. That's why I'm trying to get her to drive, but she won't do it. So it's your fault. But anyway, turn with me now. And we're looking into Jesus. Keep that phrase on your mind. Now turn with me to John chapter 10. Hallelujah. We're going someplace. John 10:10. Hallelujah. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I love, God, we serve a God of abundance and he loves to give abundantly. And in my side notes, he says in the Greek, it says superabundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. It's like Kenneth Hagin used to say, God's not El Cheapo. He's not tight. He's not stingy. He loves to lavish his own children with good things. He likes to see your cup overflowing. He doesn't have any issues with that. Religion might. Well, I don't want to get too haughty. Well, God's not too haughty. He's loaded. Amen. Now, turn in verse 11. It says, That's what I'm trying to get at. For I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Hallelujah. The good shepherd. All right. And then verse 27, it says, my sheep. Notice how personal this is. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hallelujah. So the title of this message is Looking Unto Jesus as My Good Shepherd. Looking, Pastor Chuck, what are you talking about? Looking at Jesus as my good shepherd. I'm saved. Yeah, you're saved, born again, going to heaven, hallelujah. But are you following? See, a disciple follows.
Amen.
You're at the starting gate. You're saved, born again, hallelujah. But there is a following. There is a path that God has ordained for you to walk in. Why? To finish your course. You have a set path to walk on this. Well, the short time that we're in this earth, in the flesh, we are to run a race. And we are to run this race fixed, with eyes fixed, one translation says, fixed on Him.
Amen.
Why? Because he's the prize. It's like a GPS. If I'm wanting to go to Chicago and I got in my GPS, guess what? My eyes are fixed on the GPS with Joanne driving.
Yeah.
See, I got this figured out.
There you go.
But if I'm not paying attention to the GPS, then guess what? I'm going to lose a lot of time. May not, I don't know, you know, of course we'd eventually get there, but my goodness, time's the essence here. We're in a race. Amen. Now, notice verse 27, it says, at the very end, it says, I know them, and guess what sheep do? They follow Him. It's not the other way around. I don't follow, you know, the shepherd doesn't follow me. I follow Him. He's got the plan. A lot of people, and I've seen this, they try to shepherd themselves. I'll do it. I'll take care of it. You know, if I need more money, no problem. I'll just work another shift. Can't make it to church on Sunday, Pastor. I'm working another shift. I need money. You understand? I'll take care of it. My way. There's a song, Dean Martin or someone, or Frank Sinatra. You got to do it my way or something. That's the attitude of a lot of people. If I'm sick, that's all right. I'll take care of it. I'll open up the medicine cabinet. I'll take care of it. If I need to go to sleep, it's all right. I'll open up the medicine cabinet. I'll take care of it. I'll take the purple pill. That puts me to sleep every time. And when I need to wake up, I take the white one. I'll take care of myself. If I'm blue, I'll take the blue pill. That's what the doctor told me. And if the doctor can't help me, I guess it's come down to prayer. But that person, listen to me, will always be in want because he has not made the Lord his shepherd. I'll do it myself. You're not designed to do it yourself. You are not a do-it-yourself person. You may think you are, but you're not designed to be that way. You're designed to be totally dependent on Him. He is a shepherd. Listen. Sheep needs a shepherd, right? You know what? But a shepherd needs sheep. There should be a tight bond. Our walk should be very, very tight, closely knit to our good shepherd. See, you see people who try to shepherd themselves. Listen, that's you're not smart enough. Sheep are not the smartest animals. Have you ever said to yourself, come on out, be honest, but don't let me know, but just be honest, talk to yourself. Have you ever said this? You know, that was the stupidest thing I ever did. What was I thinking? Well, I can tell you what the problem is. You're a sheep. We're not too bright. And whenever you think you're all in all, you just need to humble yourself before the Lord. And you just need to say, I don't have it all. I'm not there. I need help big time. See, that's the part of surrendering ourselves to Him. That's the part of, you know, Romans chapter 12. We give ourselves to Him. Well, that's true, isn't it? I mean, have you ever gone to a circus? I took the kids. Jill, where's Dean? Well, Dean's back. I took you girls to the circus. Did you ever remember, have you ever seen a sheep doing tricks? Have you ever seen sheep at the circus? Why? They're too dumb. They can't do tricks. I've seen them. I've seen circuses on TV. Lions, I see monkeys doing tricks. I see monkeys riding dogs, but no sheep. They don't draw a crowd. The worst of the Redskins, oops. Beep that out. They will probably do it for us. You know, Big Brother overwatch. They'll take care of it. But Washington has no team, but I suggest they latch onto the sheep.
Yeah, there you go.
Washington sheeps. See, why would they do that? Because they put the other team to sleep.
How about the Lions?
Not the Colts.
See, my dog can do tricks. She's a genius. Ruth, my dog, is a genius. All I got to do is show her a tennis ball. I show her a tennis ball like this. She knows exactly what to do. I mean, from day one. Her little feet go. And that's when we lived on Gardner. I'd get the tennis racket, tennis ball, and she is ready. And with the good south wind at my back, I can hit that thing, and you want to talk about some air time, that thing will hang for 5 seconds. Now, I ain't kidding you, with this good wind on my back. And she will run like there is nothing. No, the feet are not even hitting the ground. She is. And she'll bring it right back to me, drop the ball, and the feet go, let's do it again. Now when I do it, she gets the ball and she lays. Why is that? Because she's 11 years old now. She's genius. But us sheep, we're not the sharpest crayon in the box. We have to realize that we need a shepherd. We need Him. The good shepherd. So the title of this, Looking Unto Jesus, My Good Shepherd, Part 1. There is no way I'm going to get through this in one episode. Turn with me to Psalm 23. Hallelujah. See, David has already got this figured out. David knows that he's not smart enough. He needs a shepherd. Hallelujah. What did I tell you to go? 23? It's, well, it says verse 1, obviously. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Like I said, he already knows. He makes a he says right here who his shepherd is. It's the Lord. In other words, he said, I don't have the brains, I don't have the capability, I don't have the ability to do it myself. I need a shepherd. And he doesn't say any shepherd, it is the Lord. He's my shepherd. Now here's a question. When you're in trouble, okay, let me back this up. Well, Pastor Chuck, how do I know if I have made the Lord my shepherd? How do I know that? Here's how you tell. Who do you go to when the heat is on, when you're in trouble or have need? Who do you turn to first? Do you turn to him, or do you go some ultimate route to someone else or to something else? It's like the guy I just talked about going to the medicine cabinet. Nothing wrong with the medicine cabinet. But if I have to take an aspirin, I do it in the name of Jesus. You know what I mean? I just don't want to take this and that and don't think that I want to do it believing God. I don't want him out of the equation. You know what I'm saying? But who do you turn to first? Pretty simple. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now here it is. David, when David has a need, he doesn't have to turn to the left or to the right. David doesn't have to try to find a good shepherd. Why? Because David is already with the good shepherd. So when David has a want, or something comes up, he doesn't have to go looking. He's already with him. Here, you know, the Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You should always be right with the good shepherd. That's what David is saying. I'm right with him. It doesn't matter where he goes. It doesn't matter if he goes into the valley. It doesn't matter if he goes to the mountaintop. It doesn't matter. I'm with him. In other words, he's first. I always have my eyes fixed on him. He knows exactly where I should go. He knows exactly the timing where I should be at. He knows every step I take. All I have to do is follow him. See, but a lot of people, no one here, a lot of people want, I shall not want, but they have a tendency to skip the first part. The first part is very, very personal. The Lord is my, not was, he's my shepherd. He's not going to be my shepherd. He is my shepherd. Now, saints, that is present tense. When I wake up tomorrow morning, he's my shepherd. He's my good shepherd. Every next hour, it doesn't matter. It's always present tense. So So it's no wandering for David. He's sticking right with him. It's about a relationship. In other words, this doesn't have my full initials on it, but it has C on it. That's right. Now, if you find this, make sure you return it to me. Don't be blowing your nose in it. Then return it to me. Don't do that. But this identifies my connection with this. Even though it's not, just pretend it's got my full initials on it. It does have one. Do you notice that God wants to identify with us? You remember in John 10:27, Jesus made the statement, "My sheep hear my voice." And David's calling the shepherd, "My shepherd." See the connection? Both calling, my, going back and forth. They identify with each other, the sheep and the shepherd, identifying. That's exactly how we should, that's talking about relationship. See, God does not want us to pull him off the blue special rack just whenever we want him. Amen. Then we put him back on the rack.
That's right.
He wants to be identified all the time, present, every day.
That's right.
He wants to be identified with you.
Right. Amen to that.
He poured out his blood for you. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for you. Right. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you.
Amen.
So here it is. I shall not lack, or I shall not want. We all want that, right? But do you want it bad enough to do the first part? I said, do you want it bad enough to do the first part? The Lord is my shepherd. Are you willing to spend the time with him and study and prayer and meditation? That's all part of it. Amen.
Preach it, brother.
But it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy. Well, Lord, I'll make more time for you tomorrow. Lord, I'll make more time for you. You're my shepherd, but I'll work. You know, I'm gonna really try tomorrow. Well, stuff does come up. And that does happen. But if that habit or that continues on, you'll lose what you gained. You don't think you would, but I can tell when I go 2 or 3 days without being in the Word, I can tell it. I don't know how to explain it, but I can tell it. It's the washing of the Word. It's something. It's all kinds of things. I can tell. I don't want to go a day with spending some time in the Word, spending some time in prayer. I just don't want to do that. In other words, I want the first part just as bad as the second part. I don't want to skip the part, the Lord is my shepherd, and just focus on my wants and just focus on my lack. Lord, you know, my name's Jimmy. Give me what, you know. I can't get that phrase. I don't know what it is. I don't even want to know. It's kind of like Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 40, 31. There's two parts of that too, if I can get this right. It talks about renewing your strength. Or let me put this. The second part talks about, and you shall find new strength, divine strength. You shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. You recall that? Well, we all want that one too, don't we? We all want the supernatural strength. We all want that divine strength. Just like when I used to fill up my Dodge Charger. I wanted divine. I wanted the high octane. I didn't want no low end stuff. When, you know, on the day of Pentecost, they got the high octane. That filling of the Holy Spirit came. They received a high octane. They received a fresh anointing. And then you read in the book of Acts, and there were multiple fillings. They were all fresh fillings. There's something about having your tank filled with fresh octane. My car loved it. Even though I couldn't afford it, we'd always, like Pastor Mark used to say, you know, we go to a gas station, you get a quart tank. Because I just didn't have the funds. But I was willing to pay that high price for that octane because my car liked it. It purred. Well, it kind of made a noise. It had a dual exhaust hauling and all that stuff. No, I didn't do that. But when you know, I don't want it to sound like it was some race car because it didn't boop, boop, boop. It didn't do that. But it would do this. You kick that thing in. And I'm glad Brian wasn't around. I kicked that, you know, you kick that, and that barrel, that four barrel would kick in, and those dual exhaust, I just liked that sound. I just liked it. Even though it sucked up the gas, but I liked it. I didn't like spinning the tires, but I liked that four barrel kicking in. Man. Well, anyway, and that's nothing like it in the spiritual too. There's nothing like that anointing, that freshness that God can only give you. The world can't give it to you. You're not going to get it anywhere else. The Lord is my shepherd. You put Him first. Look, if we ain't got time to go through all this, but just look at this. You put Him first. You make Him your shepherd. And look at the benefits. The benefits. It's loaded. Now, we're going to go through this later, but we're not going to have time to go through it now. But you can do it in your home study time. But it's only six verses, I think. Is it six? Yeah. It's loaded. Just by making Him your shepherd. You know, I didn't finish that one. I said, I talked, you know, we all want the second part of Isaiah 41, 31 about being supernatural strength. But do you want the first part? First part is those who wait upon the Lord shall renew. Shall, but you got to get to, you got to have that first, you got to want the first part bad enough. Do you want it bad enough to wait on Him? See, the word wait is more than just hoping. That's part of it. But that word wait means to be one with Him. To be one. To be entwined with Him like a rope. You see a rope, it's got a lot of twines in it. Well, I've seen some ropes with hundreds and hundreds of twines going through that. But what do you call it? It's all called one thing. It's called a rope. When I look at a tree, I just say tree. But guess what makes up the tree? The branches. They're one. Jesus is the vine. We're the branch. We're one. The word wait means to be one. Well, Pastor Chuck, I am one. I'm born again. That's right. But what have you done with your mind? What have you done with your body? See, God doesn't want one part of it. He wants all three. Right. He wants your spirit, soul, and body. Right. He wants that word wait. He wants all of you. That once you get that down, now, because you have a relationship with Him, you're fellowshipping with Him, now we can talk about trust. See, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's personal to me. Now I trust Him. In other words, I look upon Him with expectancy. because I know Him. I trust Him. So that word wait, it just means a time of fellowship, a relationship. So now, so with that, I wait with Him, on Him. Now I have expectancy. I have a trust. I look upon Him with expectancy. I look upon to expecting to receive new strength. Why? Because I know Him. A personal relationship, saints, you cannot do without it. Without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is very boring life. No octane. No get up and go. You just go through the motions. I refuse to do that. Just like my car, I refuse to take in low octane. I want get up and go. It's about keeping our focus on Him. When you make the Lord your shepherd, there's a focus. You love Him. You don't want to lose focus. You're fixed on Him. You don't want to lose it.
Amen to that, preacher.
You follow Him, and just in these short 6 verses, you'll find your cup will start to run over. And there's something, if you follow Him, He said that He'll follow you. Hold it now. I thought He was my shepherd. I thought He's in front of me. He said, and we'll get to that next time, but He said goodness and mercy shall follow you. It's going to follow you. Actually, one translation says it will pursue you.
Amen.
Goodness, favor, grace, mercy, pursuing you. Just because you made a decision to make the Lord your shepherd. That's love. How can you beat that? Grace, His goodness, pursuing you, trying to overtake you. Well, brother, I don't know about that. It's what it says. Maybe that's the reason why you don't have favor. Maybe that's the reason why you just want the second part. You just want, I don't want no lack. And you left Jesus out of the equation.
Come on.
I did that. When I first got saved, I just want, you know, I just want, you know, my needs met. You know, just like a child. My kids, you know, when they were little, all they, you know, I want this, I want that. No, you get this and be happy and go on. That was the skinny days. They didn't know it, but I don't think they did. You know, Abraham did that. Abraham, let me see if I get this straight. Romans 4:20. Now, F.F. Bosworth talks about this in his book, Christ the Healer. Pastor Marie, you might tell me. Romans 4:20, it says about Moses, about Abraham. It says he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, right? I think it's right. He staggered not. But F.F. Bosworth said this. He quoted, that instead of using staggered, he used, I think he read out of the RSV. It says, by looking unto the promises of God, instead of using staggered. By looking into the promises of God. In other words, a continuous look by looking. In other words, Abraham, if you remember the verses before that, he considered not his own body, nor his body of his wife. He, even though they're past the age, he considered not. Well, what did he consider? He considered the word, the promise. Well, how do you do that? By looking. The Bible's, and I think in that it says, in that version, in that translation, it says, and he waxed strong looking into the promises of God. That's what looking will do. When you fix your gaze upon him, things begin to happen. Well, you know, Pastor Chuck, I just can't seem to get the healing. I can't seem to receive. Keep looking. Like Abraham, he kept looking. What? I think in F.F. Ballsworth, is that right? F.F. Ballsworth? He kept looking, and that word looking also means to expect or to look with expectancy. He kept looking with expectancy. He kept looking with expectancy. What? The Word. The Word always works. And it doesn't matter. It works for healing. It works for it all has to bow its knee. Lack has to bow its knee. It doesn't matter. You're short on money. Lack. It doesn't matter. It has to bow its knee to Jesus. It has to bow its knee to the finished work of Jesus. All the work's been done. We just follow Him and put us in a position to receive the finished work, what's already been accomplished. It's not like God has to work something up just for you. All our needs have been taken care of. So we follow Him with the expectancy of what? I lack no good thing. Turn with me. Let's look at this. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll close with this. And it says, verse 20, it says, now this is, yeah, verse 20, this is New King James. It says, my son, give attention to my words. What are words? Words are seeds, right? So he's saying, give attention to them. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your what? Your eyes. Saints, we're to keep looking. Keep hearing. Keep looking. To who? To what? The good shepherd. Listen, his words are seeds. And he goes on to say, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and medicine or health to all their flesh. He says they're life to those who find them. They're seeds. We look to Him. We hear His Word. It's a continual process. Hearing, confessing, looking at Him. He has all the answers. If it's healing, well, you got to find the Scriptures for healing. That's the seed. What's in the seed? Life. So you find the seed, which contains the life. If I need healing, well, then I put that healing, that seed, in the midst of my heart, and I guard it, I keep it. He's the good shepherd. We got to attend to His Word. We got to stay focused on His Word. Nothing else. Since we're living in a time, there's distractions and things that I'm hearing that I saw yesterday that they closed out. Prayer at the Congress closed out prayer, and the prayer was unbelievable. I could not believe it. I'm not even going to say. I thought, my, this is hard. This is hard to deal with times. I mean, are we this? You could not think this stuff up. It has come from the pit of hell. I mean, it's like, am I dreaming or what here? Saints, we got to keep focused on Him. If this holds up, unless Jesus, like we were talking, I was talking to Pastor Mark, unless Jesus comes back Himself and straightens this out, if we go down this path that they want to take us down, it's going to be hard to deal with. We're going to have to keep our focus on Him, saints. There's going to be all kinds of distractions. And if you look at what they're doing, you get caught up in frustration. You get caught up in it. We got to keep our focus. You got to keep our focus, saints. You get anything tonight?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. This part one, we'll hit this again another time. But saints, listen. The Lord, say this. The Lord is my good shepherd.
Amen.
And saints, that's something we all have to work on. We're not there yet. There's areas in my life I got to work on. I haven't arrived, but I've left the starting gate. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.